Joining me on Caradio's Afternoon News, Mr. Terry Seaman, who is the Facilities Executive Director, and Mr. Josh Chisholm, the Capital Program Manager for School District 11. This is their monthly visit and check-in. Today, we're talking about the facilities master plan work that these two gentlemen are leading and what that might mean to your students. Tough times for every school district on the planet, and yet this huge project continues because it must, and you'll learn why here. Terry and Josh, welcome to KRDO's Afternoon News.
Thanks, Ted.
Good evening, Ted. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you both. And if you don't mind, just say your first name as you start to talk to make sure we don't have you confused. Terry, why don't we start with you, Facilities Executive Director for D11. Talk, if you don't mind, a little bit, sort of a refresher about Facilities Master Plan. And then Josh, we'll come to you and we'll talk about the work that you're leading.
Okay, Ted. This is Terry. So a facilities master plan is a roadmap for us to go from where we are today to a point in the future using all of the existing resources that we have for facility projects and do a coordinated effort such that we try to optimize what we spend money on, that we don't spend money on any frivolous things that are outside the confines of the plan. As you know, District 11 is resource constrained. We don't have an unlimited budget to do this, so we just need to spend the money that we have in the smartest manner possible.
And this, of course, is all about making sure that the buildings that you have are suitable for providing the right kind of learning environment, will accommodate technology, all the other things that are happening and changing in the world, so that moving forward, you get the most out of those facilities you possibly can.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry. Josh, let's go to you and talk about some of the work that you guys are, that you two are both leading.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. This is Josh. So, you know, as you mentioned, what you described as providing spaces for our students to learn, we call that educational adequacy. And what we're really looking at are things like technology. Do we have the Wi-Fi that is required? Do we have the bandwidth for students to learn on the technology that they have today? But we also look at things like lighting. Are the spaces well lit? Do we have windows that are conducive to that for natural lighting? You know, are the do we still have the old fluorescent style lighting that is that, or is it dim? And then, you know, we also look at power outlets. Do we have sufficient outlets for the students to charge their devices on, you know, and space constraints? So do we have collaborative spaces for the students to learn in? Or are they kind of siloed within, you know, the traditional style classroom that you would think of?
Which we think of as kind of a square or rectangular room with desks in a row. And in a lot of cases, depending on the district, 30 kids. And, you know, that's how I came up in school in the 70s. And maybe you guys remember those days as well. Fluorescent lighting was kind of new back then, I hate to say. I mean, but it's, you guys have quite a set of facilities to deal with. You're dealing with buildings that are in upwards of 100 years old, so there's a challenge. And then on top of that, of course, the elephant in the room always is the pandemic and how you turn air over often enough in rooms like that, make sure that it is microbe-free, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. We have some buildings. Sorry, Jared, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're right, Ted. A lot of our facilities, you know, date back to 1923-ish, with many of them in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And as time has went on, you know, those systems have degraded, whereas the, you know, the HVAC systems have been replaced once, twice, in some cases, maybe even three times. And now we have, we're at the point where many of these systems are now at the end of their useful life. And so we've spent a considerable amount of time and effort over the course of this summer going through, looking at every system to make sure that we've got not only adequate ventilation in our schools, but we've been able to upgrade some and reprogram some of the building automation systems to increase some of that ventilation, so that we're trying to keep the learning environments as safe as possible out there.
And last question for you: what is the duration of this project, or what is the duration called for here, and where can you tell us you are in the process, and how can the community be supportive here?
Yeah, Ted, this is Josh.
That'd be a good one for you.
Sure, I'll take this one. So we're at this point, Ted, we've collected all the data, we've reviewed all of our buildings, and the things that we're really looking at closely are the condition of the facilities and the utilization of those facilities as well. And so at the end of the day, we have this balancing act where, do we have small neighborhood schools? Can we offer rich programs within those schools and still maintain low operating costs? There's this dynamic between these three elements, and that's really the process that this facilities master plan is doing. And what does our community desire to come out of this process within District 11? And so at this point, we've collected the data. We understand in and out what the facilities conditions are, how much they're being utilized, and in what areas do we have opportunity to provide better for our students and for our community. So moving forward into this process over the next month, we'll be meeting with our steering committee, which is composed of 63 members of community at large, so from all different diversity and backgrounds of our community. And they will help guide our options and develop options for what we will do with our facilities and how we can accomplish what our community really is looking for in collaboration with our district leadership, of course. And then in December, we will have our community dialogue day number 3 and number 4. And that's really where our community at large can get involved. Those are going to be held on December 7th and 8th. And there will be 16 individual two-hour meetings across those 2 days covering the similar content. But we want to offer everyone in our community the opportunity to provide their voice and their input as we develop this long-range master plan.
Gentlemen, I have to offer my apologies. We are unfortunately against a hard break and out of time, but we do deeply appreciate the work that you're doing for the district and the community, especially the kids for whom a learning environment is very important, and a good one at that. Facilities Executive Director Terry Seaman, Capital Program Manager Josh Chisholm, thank you both for spending a couple of minutes with us here on KRDO's Afternoon News.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, Ted.